Hello, everybody. It's Eddie. Glad you're with us today. So, Tarina?
Mm-hmm.
Got a bunch of stuff to go over here?
We do.
All right. Remind me, Zarina, we want to have a little commercial for the Seller Finance Coalition.
Yep.
And talk about that, and Bob kind of tell us the status of that, but we'll have a little bit of a break here, 15, 20 minutes in, we'll cover that.
Okay.
Okay. Mr. Mangan, this is your asset?
This is my asset. Eddie, this is a new asset we just took into REO. It's from a recent acquisition of a group of assets we purchased. It's located in Bay City, Michigan. So this is not a note or it's now an REO.
Okay.
So the occupancy is currently is occupied. I think they're vacating the property now. The most recent ABM we had was as of July was $60,000. It's got $2,600 in taxes due on it, which are just the 2014. So all their other taxes were current. It's a little four-bedroom, two-bathhouse, about 1,400 square feet. Average rent in this area is about nearly $800. So asking price on this note is $27,000.
Okay.
So we're going to split on, let's look at the pictures a little bit. So it's a wood frame house, again, it's two-story. Did you have the neighborhood shot of this also, Zarina?
You just got down the street here.
Okay.
Good.
And did Matt put the demographics on here, Zarina, also?
Yeah, I think there's a click or something there.
There is not this
one. Yeah, I wouldn't open up like that. Nope, not that one.
This one.
So Bay City. So what's Bay City close to?
Close to the bay.
Close to the bay, no doubt. And they're outnumbered. Females outnumber the males.
I think there was a 1970 disco group, the Bay City Rollers, that came from around there.
Okay, this was their house, right, Bob?
Well, I'm not sure how many folks on the call can remember that far back.
Oh, trust me, I know some of them. I guarantee you they can.
I'm gonna start looking at some of the comments.
Hey, Tommy O'Neill is still disco dancing, man.
There you go. All right, so are you guys from Michigan? Let me know if you've heard of the Bay City Rollers, and put it in the chat so I can see.
Yeah.
So the median value in Bay City there was about $67,000. So the prices are. Is probably equivalent size, I mean, price of a home in Bay City.
Looks like a pretty good rental property there, Charles.
Yeah, I mean, a four-bedroom, two-bath, it definitely would be a good rental, I think.
Yep.
No doubt.
All right, so we have a piece of REO that you can get for $27,000, have a good cash flow rental. What else can they do, Eddie?
Oh, you know what I like. I like the 50-50 model.
Actually, this would probably be perfect for the 50-50 model here. With the $800 a month rental, Eddie?
Yeah. my guess is you could probably move it for $50,000, 25 down, carry a 25 note that would probably fully pay out in 3.5 or 4 years. So because it's in Michigan, because it's a frame, you know, because it's not like the sexiest rental ever, you still could probably cut a heck of a deal. Yeah, got a little correction there. Sounds like that Neil says the Bay City Rollers, Bob, were a Scottish band.
Really?
I don't know.
Scottish band from Michigan, I guess.
Exactly. All right. So anyway, yeah. I don't know how quickly you could get to the little 50-50 model spreadsheet, Zarina. Can you find it fairly quickly? That loser. She's probably
no,
Googling Bay City Rollers.
No.
She's pulling up her iTunes to see if she can play a little song for us.
Exactly.
That's way before my time.
Yeah, she didn't even know. When she had that little thing at the deal last year, our appreciation event, we played all the people that were posing to be Zarina, and then, like, who's the real Zarina? And she's telling me the story and how funny she thought that'd be, and I said, yeah, that's like to tell the truth. She goes, what? She Googled it and found out there really was a TV show called To Tell the Truth.
Yeah, it was pretty nice, but...
Yeah. All right, plug in some numbers here, and let's just kind of run it through really fast. What's the RAN on it?
792, that's it.
Okay. Probably you're okay with taxes. Why don't you pop the insurance up to, just to be safe, pop it up to $45 a month.
Okay.
All right. Go down here, Zarina, and don't put vacancy. Oh, that I don't know who told you to add that column, because that's Eddie's rule. No vacancy.
All right.
Our houses aren't vacant. We don't build a vacancy into this model. I made it up, so I get to keep the rules.
Okay.
Put 5 years. Yeah, 48 months. Go 5%. Let's see where we are. All right. Go drop it back to 42 months.
Okay.
So here's an investor that pays $53,000 for this house, 26.5 down. You owner finance it, 26.5, 5%, and it fully pays out in 3.5 years. I believe that's very, very doable. So this is a asset that we just bought in a big package. We want to turn it over because we're trying to get some velocity on our capital. But if somebody wants to do it, y'all let Charles know. And
yeah, they have vacated the property, so it is no longer occupied.
Yeah, Lisa said the taxes are really high. Does that sound right, Charles?
$2,700? Probably not on a $60,000 value, though. Let's just look here. I'm looking at a tax screen.
I mean, about $218 a month.
Looks like their city taxes are about $1,200. And let's see here. Hold on just a minute. Yeah, I'm looking at tax bill showing the total taxes were $2,636.14.
Now it's just for last year?
It's for last year, 2014.
Okay. Wow. That's crazy high, isn't it?
Yeah, the base, let's see, well, the base is, maybe there may be some penalties in there, but you can figure they're going to be about $2,000 a year. But yeah, I mean, you definitely want to check with the county and the city on that.
All right. Roll up the term. That's crazy high, but it is what it is. Roll it up to 48 months, and let's see where it takes us, Zarina. 45. Take it 60 months and see where it takes you. So you probably, if you can get 56 for it, it's great. You can get 52 for it and get half down, I think it's great. And I think you could just back into the number to make that work. But good catch there on the taxes, by the way, Lisa. Okay. What else we got, Zarina?
All right. We have Roman. He's got a chain of title going on. So let me unmute him and pull this stuff up.
Okay.
Roman, you are on.
Hello, Roman. What's up, buddy? How you doing?
Good, man. Thanks for looking at this.
No worries.
I emailed, by chance, Zarina, do you have that page 3 of the note that I emailed you?
I do. Let me pull that up.
This is what's going on. I bought this note in May. The original lender on this is Moneyline. Moneyline has since changed name to Genpac. They sold the note to Sierra Pacific, and I bought the note from Sierra Pacific. At the very bottom of this page, you're going to see where it says, pay to the order without recourse, Moneyline Lending Services, a California corporation, the guy who signed it, and then there's this stamp that says Encore Credit Corporation, a California corporation. The attorneys for the servicer, for my servicer, are saying that they're looking at this as an endorsement. Now, all the allonges that I have go from Moneyline to Sierra Pacific to me. And there is in no, and I, my argument back to the attorneys and to the servicer is, look, if there was an endorsement to from Moneyline to Encore, how could Moneyline sell it to Sierra Pacific? And the attorney, the email I just got today, I'm quoting the attorney, I'm unsure as to where Encore comes in as well, but on page 3 of the note, there is a specific endorsement from Moneyline to Encore Credit Corp. I will say the endorsement looks like to have been a blank endorsement, and it looks like that Encore stamp was later placed there. But unless the lender can offer an explanation as to why the endorsement is faulty, we are going to be unable to file anything without a missing documents, as this board is extremely sensitive to real party and interest issues. I looked up Encore, what is this? Encore doesn't exist. They went out of business. Encore Credit Corporation, I checked on the California Secretary of State website. They went out of business in 2010.
Who is Sierra?
Sierra is the company that bought the note from Moneyline.
Okay.
Did you ask him about Encore? Did you talk to anyone at Sierra about who this Encore was?
No, because again, the only reason that this issue came up is because the buyer on this is claiming BK-13, so you know we're going to go to court and try and you know get arrears and all that fun stuff. But the attorney's pointing this thing out on page 3 of the original note, and I'm going, how would you find out? Encore went out of business in 10.
Right.
Okay. They're saying that this is an endorsement to Encore.
Okay.
The attorney is. I'm saying, and they're worried that the court's going to find that this is an endorsement. I'm going, there is no reference to in any other documentation to Encore Credit Corporation, and I'm wondering if this is some kind of subsidiary of Money Lending Services.
It very well could be, but that should have been marked out.
All right, where is it at?
What do you mean?
Where's the asset at?
It's in Lisbon, Ohio.
Okay.
Attorneys working on it are, you know, I've actually worked for them in the past. You know, it's just, I don't understand the attorney's trepidation about this being an endorsement. There is nothing in any of the rest of the documentation that I have that mentions Encore in any way. And my argument back to the attorney is how does Moneyline sell it to Sierra Pacific if there wouldn't be some kind of a launch from Encore back to Moneyline?
Right. They executed this note as Moneyline Lending Services.
Right. And that is obviously some kind of a stamp that's affixed to the bottom of that note, which was done later. And the attorney's having a hissy fit going, well, you know, this is an endorsement. I'm like, God only knows who signed this because there's no printed name next to it, you know.
All right, so the first thing I would say is, you know, if you talk to five lawyers, you're going to be lucky. You're going to get seven opinions, right? So the first thing I would do is I'd just see whether, you know, I mean, it's not that I get what the lawyer's saying, but that's I don't see this being an endorsement. I guess he's struggling with saying, well, if I send it in front of the judge and the judge looks at the note, the judge says, what is this? And the lawyer goes, I don't know. It's on there. We don't know who they are. So he's asking you to do some research, I think.
Okay.
You agree with that, Charles?
Yeah, I mean, I think so. But maybe I'm not sure I wouldn't give another opinion on that, too.
I certainly agree you should get another opinion. Okay? The first thing I'd do is go back to people I bought the note from.
Okay.
Because you were a good faith purchaser of this note. And now there's a question as to their rights of transferring ownership of this note.
Okay.
So that's the first, you know, that's the first area I would go. And, you know, I mean, do you have a relationship with them, or?
Yeah, I mean, it was a pretty cordial, you know, note exchange, and you know, everything was, you know, there was no. He was pretty much on the up and up. I don't have any reason to doubt his honesty coming into the as far as the deal is concerned. But this is my question. I mean, I looked up some of this stuff on the county website as well. And you can get some limited mortgage history on the county website. There's no back and forth going from Moneyline to Encore back to Moneyline. It shows a mortgage is going from Moneyline to Sierra to me.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I might keep going back to the servicer on this. Going, you know, the attorney is worried if he shows up in front of the judge and the judge asks him this question. Why don't you get in front of the judge first and see if he even asks the question?
All right. Well, there's two directions here. Okay, we're in total agreement with you. Okay, we're not. I don't think we're seeing it differently. We're just trying to figure out could you solve the problem. I know that you could do some research through a search on the Secretary of State and find out that entity, and find out, you know.
I did.
Okay.
It sold to Bear Stearns. Bear Stearns acquired Encore Credit Corporation. He was looking through going back to this kind of research, and it says that Bear Stearns acquired Encore Credit Corporation, which was a subprime lender.
Well, what I'm almost suspicious of, Bob and Charles, is they may have. It may have pledged the note.
Yeah, I mean,
possibility.
Yeah, I think the comment you made about going to check another attorney, I mean, just because there's a stamp on there that has another company's name, that's not an endorsement. There's no signature. There's no date. I mean, you know, I hate to tell you, but in the corporate world, papers come across people's desk and they just stamp them as they go by, and, you know. So there's a stamp on there. That doesn't, you know, we could have stamped Colonial Funding Group on there, but that doesn't mean anything. So there's no signature, no date. I don't know how that could even be enforced or questioned. So
let me ask you the legal question, and I know you all play lawyers on television. The legal definition of endorsement. That's the attorney keeps referring this as this is an endorsement to Encore Credit Corp. And I'm going, no, it's not. We don't know who Encore Credit Corp is.
Yeah, well, I would just ask, you know, of course, I would ask the attorney, so if I stamp my name on there, it would be an endorsement to me?
Well, I think what they're saying is this. If you read it, it says paid to the order of Encore Credit Corp without recourse. Now, if you were trying to kind of like read left to right, That's the position he's taken.
Right.
That's what they're saying. So,
and you can always look deeper into the corporate docs. I don't know. I mean, Moneyline Lending Services Inc. could have been a subsidiary of Encore Credit Corp.
That's what I'm thinking.
You know, but you know, you'd have to do some Googling and you know, digging in there. But
and like I said, the you know, according to the California Secretary of State website, Encore went out of business in 2010.
Yeah, and, but you know, you could still maybe get a list of some of their subsidiary names. I mean, there's a lot of guys in DBA under different names, even though you're, you know, Colonial Funding Group, you may have an entity that's Colonial Fund 17 or whatever, you know, so there's different things, even though it's all rolled up into one. So.
Yeah, you're right.
All right, so number one, I would go back to the guy I bought it from. You were a good faith purchaser. The attorney's questioning the validity of what they transferred to you because of this, okay? Maybe they can go work backwards. How long did they own the note?
Sierra had it for... You're going to make me dig. I want to say for over a year.
Mm-hmm.
I want to say... Well, no, they bought it in 12. December 12th.
Okay, so they owned... they bought it December 17th, 2012, and sold it to you on May 6th of 2014.
Right.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, so they owned it 15 months. So this was obviously a deal that they thought they were going to get some other resolution on and their workout strategy didn't work and they decided to sell it to you.
Right, exactly. This
where's the endorsement? Where's the endorsement from Moneyline to Sierra Pacific?
I do have a copy of that along in the paperwork. And that's my argument back to the attorney. How did Moneyline sell it to Sierra Pacific without getting it back from Encore?
We can dig deep, but I mean, if Moneyline assigned it to Sierra Pacific in 2012 and went out of business in 2011, how'd that happen?
No. Encore went out of business in 10. Moneyline originated the loan.
They still in business?
Yeah, they're now known as Genpact.
Okay.
And
I always call them too and ask if they ever had a relationship with Encore and see what they say.
Okay.
You know, yeah, they used to be one of our so-and-so's or whatever. They might say it some way.
It's.
When did Sierra acquire this from them?
12 of 12.
So they've owned it a few years.
15 months.
If they could give you a contact for somebody over at Moneyline.
Yeah, well, I can find Moneyline at the state, the Secretary of State, and check it down that way.
Yeah. I don't think any of us think that what you're saying is crazy. I think it's just going to force you to dig in, though, and be a private detective a little bit.
All right.
I would say that if you read the pay to the order of, and then it has the stamp, and then, you know, without recourse below, it's not like it's completely ridiculous that the lawyer's saying what he's saying.
No.
Okay. All right. Thanks for your input.
You bet.
All right, so Eddie, before we get into the next thing, do we want to talk a little bit about Sales Finance Coalition update?
Yep, give us some background on that.
All right. For those of you that attended our summer summit or received our byline newsletter, you know that we are part of the Seller Finance Coalition. And back in February, went up to Capitol Hill and started talking to some congressmen about dropping some legislation. And we just wanted to update you and let you know that last week, Congressman Roger Williams introduced Bill H.R. 5667, whose purpose is to exempt seller finance to some of the SAFE Act and Dodd-Frank requirements. So that bill has now been presented to the Financial Services Committee to process and to determine whether or not they're going to put it on the floor for a vote. So. This is when we really need some help from you guys as far as either, you know, becoming a member of the Seller Finance Coalition, or going on the website and seeing who your local congressman is and kind of put in a word for this legislation. I know it's a tough time right now with everybody running for re-election and you know, what's going on, but you know, this is an issue that, you know, has been brought to the floor. So once again, it is HR 5667, and we will be sending out a press release just so everybody kind of knows that, or you can go to sellerfinancecoalition.org to find out more on that and to look up to see who your representative is, and whether or not they serve on the Financial Services Committee. So we just wanted to reach out to you. You can also become a member on the website, and you know, we think we're moving in the right direction, and you know, we need some support. So Eddie, what do you want to say in follow up to that?
No, it's all good. We've been a big contributor to it, as kind of a short list of other people have. We feel confident that seller financing was not really intended to be in Dodd-Frank. And when we talk to politicians, we absolutely, you know, hear from them. that they see the flaw in it. So we think this is a winnable battle, but we just need some support. We're not going to ask you to put the kind of money we put up, trust me, but we would like for you to join, and we do need your support. All right. Y'all can go there, sellerfinancecoalition.org, and it'll have a way you can take action. There's a very, very impressive video in there of a guy talking about joining. Yeah. I look at these pictures of myself, and I'm going, man, I look like he's having a bad day. All right. Thanks, cool. Arena.
You're welcome. All right. Next up, we got Lori Fields.
Hi, everybody. Can you hear me?
Hello, Lori.
Hi, Eddie. This question came up as I was looking at a note, because the ownership is different than the borrower. The borrower had quick claim deeded the property to the HOA, and I believe that was because they were behind in their monthly assessments. So what would happen if I bought the note? How is that something you don't buy, or you know, who's responsible?
Okay, well, the borrower quick claimed the property to the Property Owners Association?
Yes.
Well, you know, do you understand what that means?
I thought it meant that the HOA is now the owner.
It does.
Is the HOA then responsible for the note?
They hold the note.
Well, they took title subject to the note. They could not extinguish the note.
Mm-hmm.
So they took title subject to, but the issue is, Bob and Charles, I think, is in Florida, that HOA is going to have a superior lien position.
It will have a superior lien position. But you haven't talked to the HOA, correct, Lori?
That's correct. I don't even own the note. I'm looking at it and doing my due diligence.
Well, apparently there's a lot of HOA dues there. I mean, that's the only reason they would have deeded that property to them, was because of the past two HOAs. Now, then I've heard attorneys say that when you purchase a note, you're only responsible for the last 12 months of the HOAs, and I've heard also been told that you can be held responsible for all the HOAs. So, but I mean, they quick claim deed that property, so that HOA is the owner of that. I mean, they're the owner of that property.
Okay. So
did you ask Granite about that?
I didn't. I wanted to speak to you guys first.
Yeah,
it doesn't sound.
I'm sure there's a lot of HOAs due on that property. That note's got some issues.
Okay, so stay away from it.
Well,
nah, I mean, I would.
I mean, we're just saying if you're fixing to open the door and you think there's going to be, a lot of traffic outside, well, we're just kind of preparing you for the horns.
Yeah, okay. Just to kind of address just the question, just for a general conversation, is the borrower still responsible for payments on the note? I mean, Charles, the borrower can't just quit claim his deed over and that takes care of liability, because if so, I'm going to quit claim my house over to you so I don't have to pay on it anymore, right?
Right, right. I mean, there's still an existing note there. Right. But what you're dealing with is you're going to be dealing with the HOA. And they're now
the borrower is still responsible to pay on the note. He can't just quit claim it over to the HOA and relieve himself from obligation.
Okay. My question is, because they deeded that property over to the HOA, they could collect probably all the HOA fees because they deeded that property to them. So that's Lori, I'd really research into that one. I might want to talk to an attorney on that one.
I'd pass on this one to look for another asset.
Okay. Yeah, it seems a little too complicated.
Yeah, there's too many good loans out there to have heartburn over something like this.
Okay, that's good. I'm glad I asked.
Thanks, Lori.
Thank you.
Back, Mick, ask a question, Charles. If you foreclose and name that the HOA in foreclosure, would it wipe it out? Well, they technically own the property, so it would wipe out their interest in the property, but the question is the HOA still has a superior lien. I wonder, let me ask you this theory. I know Bob's kind of told her to go look somewhere else, but I love snarly title issues. How about a merger of title?
A merger of title.
Well, if the HOA took title to it, does that then mean that have they constituted a merger of title where they can't have a lien against themselves?
That's above my pay grade, so I'll defer to Charles.
You definitely want to get an attorney involved there. So I'll tell you what, we'll sell you this note, Eddie, and then we'll use it for the case study.
Bob's going to finance me.
Yeah. Personally, I like Bob's answer. Run like hell, guys. But okay, let's just go back to your.
All right.
I think the HOA can still pursue that HOA.
All right, cool.
I mean, obviously, this study was pre-acquisition. So if we're looking at this, we would advise not to buy. If somebody had already bought it and we're trying to work our way out of it, then we'd have to dig in a little deeper and try to figure out how to help you get out of this situation. But if you run into a situation like this and you have not bought the note yet, I would move on to the next one.
Right.
Okay, that's what I'm going to do. Move on.
One clarification. Skip asked a question about lien position. Skip, specifically, that's why we ask where it is located. And in Florida, and this is unique, HOA associations have superior lien position. Like in most markets, they do not come in front of the first mortgage. But a HOA in Florida probably most definitely will, and that's why we're all kind of – it's in Florida, so we're just assuming they're going to have a superior lien. All right, Zarina.
All right. He's making a comment about Nevada. They have to foreclose first.
Oh, by the way, Charles, we had a little meeting in our office with some students earlier today, and I forgot to ask this to you then, and I saw somebody ask a question. I know you were working on a tape. What's the status of that?
Yes. We're trying to get another NPL tape here. We don't have anything confirmed yet, but we are trying to get another tape to put out here to the students. I don't have really a definite on that, so that's why I really haven't brought it up. But we are working on trying to get some new assets to put up on the website. And I've talked to Gemini also, so we may get some more Gemini assets as well.
Okay.
We're trying to work out some details on that, but I don't have any confirmed details yet.
We got some REO that we'll sell too, don't we?
Yeah, we've got some REO we'll put up there. And I may try to get a little tape up there. Right now, we've got a handful of REOs, but we're anticipating having three or four more here in the next week or so. So we might put them all up there if we could.
All right. All right, Zarina, what you got?
That's all the submissions for today.
Okay.
Eddie, why don't you talk a little bit about our appreciation event and coming up with that?
Okay, so I want to remind everybody about our appreciation event, and it dovetails with the Note Expo. And that is going to be in November 6th, 7th, and 8th. The appreciation day is November the 6th, which is on Thursday, November 6th. And that will go from early in the morning till into the evening, so at 9 o'clock, basically registration about 8:30. So it'll be the same type of thing that you've seen us do at other special mentor events. We'll have some really good quality speakers. We'll have some what we think are really cutting-edge, cool stuff that we're going to talk about. We decided not to go a whole 2 days just because we think we can really, really pack it in. And then we're going to have our big kind of banquet and auction that night. And then starting the next morning will be the Note Expo. So we're going to have a trade show. I know many of you are doing helping promote that. Anybody else wants to promote it, we can send you the information about how to be an affiliate and do that. There is good income you can make from doing it. And kind of our thought was is that we wanted to provide an environment not only for you to network with the other mentor students, but network with other industry people, and that's why we tied it together with the Note Expo. So the Note Expo will be a Note trade show. We're inviting a lot of people that I think you'll really, really enjoy. The way it works is this: if you're a mentor student, you are paying for the one-day appreciation event, and you get a free ticket to the expo. So now here's what we need from you. You know you're coming. You're going to have to go on and make sure you get your hotel reservation. Don't wait till 11th hour and lose the room block, okay? We need you to register with us, okay? It is crazy hard for us to manage the registrations at the 11th hour. So we have a price that you're paying now, and that price is going to go up as the calendar goes. So if you know you're coming, do it now. It helps us manage. We're willing to make it cost you a little less money because of that. But it's really, really critical to the process. Zarina, so somebody wants to click on as a mentor student. Yeah, there's the hotel, by the way. It's really cool. It's brand new Hilton Hotel. It was in the Dallas Business Journal last week. It's a really cool facility. Very, very, very cool facility. Let's see, Zarina, so somebody's a mentor student, right? They're going to come. Where are they going to sign up at? What's it going to look like?
On noteschool.com on the
membership site?
Yes.
Okay.
So, Zarina's on the membership site or is it just on the noteschool.com site?
We have it on the noteschool.com site.
Okay. So there's a link there where you can register for you and your guests. So yeah, it really helps us out. The earlier we have the headcount, as you guys have been to previous events, especially the Summer Summit, when we're talking to our sponsors and vendors and they're stepping up, paying good money to sponsor breaks and lunches and of course our charity dinner, I mean, we have to know how many to account for when we start budgeting with the caterer and everything. So you guys know we usually provide some top-notch food and entertainment. We just need to know ahead of time so we can line that up for you.
It is very helpful when we're working with a vendor that would help provide sponsorship for that day. So you guys signing up later, you know, then we don't have a number to tell them. We're just guessing, and guessing really is not good. So we need you to really help us out with that. We want all of you guys to come. We think it is, like, as Lisa Hankerson said here on the comments on the question and answer panel, she said the appreciation events are not to be missed. They keep getting better and better, and we appreciate that. And I think a lot of you, all of you that have been, I think feel that way. So,
you know, there's going to be a big focus on capital with this. There'll be capital partners. There are people that we've met at other conferences that are looking, you know, to invest in real estate notes. We're going to talk about how to structure LLCs and joint ventures. We're going to have some fund administrators, some attorneys that can kind of help provide that information. So, you know, the appreciation event, we'll drill down with a lot of note school stuff and some Q&As with Eddie and Charles and Susan and myself, as well as some, oh yeah, let me make sure we mention this, Eddie, and you can get on there. Don't forget our case study competition.
Yeah. So one of the things that we've done in the past are that we had a case study competition for performing and non-performing notes. We really, really, what we're looking for is a story. The case studies aren't always about the guy that made the most profit. We're looking for something that was unique about the deal, a twist in the deal, a creative spin that you maybe had on it, whatever that may be. Zarina's got that there, and it's really, really critical that you guys go put some case studies together. And let me tell you something that's magic. And that is the story. So when it comes to kind of telling your story, I mean, don't write an 18-page novel, but just tell us some, give us some details about it, because that story is what Charles and Bob and I are really reading and kind of selecting those finalists. So we will have three finalists, Bob, is that right?
Yeah,
of each?
Yeah, we will have three finalists, and then just like at last year's appreciation event, the audience, so your fellow peers, fellow mentoring students, will be the ones who decide on the winners from those finalists. And as you know, last year we gave out some really great prizes. I think somebody got an iPad and some other stuff. But in addition to a great prize, they get a featured showcase. So, Eddie, what does the winner get to do?
The winner gets to present to the entire audience at the Note Expo.
So there's people out there with capital looking for somebody to partner up with, or somebody looking to figure out more about the note business, and they see you up on stage as the winner of our case study competition. You get some instant credibility there. So not that any of you guys like to be in the spotlight or anything, or having just in case, you know, we can definitely see you up there in front of the whole audience and give you that prime spotlight to kind of go through and show everybody, hey, this is how you take a performing or a non-performing note, and this is how you get creative and make the most out of it. So,
all right, so,
as many submissions as you want, but the deadline is coming up. It is October 15th, which will give us time to kind of review those and come up with the finalists and get them in a PowerPoint and get you guys notified so you can be prepared to present those. So looks like Zarina's got all the details. All you got to do is read through that. So hopefully we made it pretty easy to handle that. And Matt Edwards is our coordinator on that, so his email's on there too. So if you need to ask any questions, just email him at matt@noteschool.com and he'll help make sure we have everything we need in your submission.
Yeah. Case study competition really is a great opportunity for you to pick through a deal or deals. As Bob said, you can enter more than once, and you just really, really can't miss it. We just could not beg you guys enough to come to the event. Every time we have one, the people that come just really make a big deal about it. So somebody said, if I bring a guest, what do they do on Thursday? Well, if they're not a mentor student, they need to hang out by the pool. It may be a chilly.
Yeah, this hotel is conveniently located. There's plenty of shopping around, plenty of food.
They'll have plenty to do. Yeah. Okay, mention that. We got several classes coming up. We had a fun time last weekend, saw a few of you guys out in San Fran. Had a good time there. Definitely had a good time with you mentor students that we saw there. Got classes coming up in Dallas. Where else?
Fort Lauderdale.
Dallas again, and then we got a class in Atlanta and LA in December. So
and Charlotte.
And Charlotte. Yeah. So we hope to see you guys somewhere on our travels. And definitely hope to see every one of you at the special appreciation event and the Node Expo.
So register today, please.
Zarina?
Mm-hmm.
You got a special project.
I do. I got a lot of projects. Which one do you want to hear about?
What were you and I talk about this morning?
Oh. My repositioning? That'll be fun.
Well, you we're not going to talk about what all that is. We're going to talk about what you want them to start doing for you.
Well, I'm going to be starting, you know, to engage a lot of the students in sending out surveys, getting a lot of your opinions. I really want to know what you guys are struggling with. I want to know what areas you guys want to see yourselves growing in. And so I'm going to be creating some surveys and getting some questions together to kind of figure that out. So,
yeah. So, Zarina@noteschool.com, we want you to lay out, don't write a novel, bullet it, do something where it's easy for her to gather stuff, and we're going to start sending out some surveys. But the topics and the questions covered in the surveys, we're reaching out to you guys to help us kind of formulate that. Now, we know probably a huge topic is capital. So as Bob said, during a special mentor event, we're going to have a high focus on how you can legally have an entity to do it, and we're going to give you a pretty solid plug and play of the legal entity and the process so you can go start gathering investors. Okay? So we are zeroed in on that. If that's your hot button, you can tell Zarina that as well, but I will say to you that we're already planning on a significant part of what we're doing at the appreciation event is to give you some plug and play where you can be able to form an entity with other capital. But just anything, if it's due diligence, if it's foreclosure management, if it's trustees, if it's these lawyers are making me crazy, if it's the servicers don't listen to me, if it's Charles doesn't listen to me, I'm just making that up. Whatever it is, then we want you to email that to Zarina, and then she's going to start formulating what the surveys will look like. And when you kind of see how this all unfolds, this is going to be really cool. You guys are going to like it. It's going to be very helpful to you. Mr. Bob, what else you got?
I think that's about it.
Okay. Charles, all good with you?
All good with me.
You're still working with several vendors, pulling stuff together?
We are, and you know, it's one of the things we're really working towards is to have a good vendor network at the Node Expo as well.
Yeah. Okay.
I think it'll be a great event.
All right. You guys have a good day.
All right. See you next
week. Thank you.
Bye, guys.